Our lessons today come from 2 Kings is the first one. And I just marked it. I promise I did. Here we go. The first lesson comes from 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 14. But let us go to God before we go to His Word. Holy God, You are here in this place. We can feel Your presence, Your Spirit here among us. So we ask that Your Spirit work in us today in this space, in this place, on this holy ground, so that we might continue to follow in Your way, that we might put aside our own desires for the sake of Your kingdom, for the sake of Your people, not because You need us, O God, but because we need You. We need You today and tomorrow. We need You to get out of the bed in the morning. We need You to go to the grocery store with us, not just to get into heaven. Help us remember that, O God, that we need You every step of the way. And what You require, what You ask of us, is to say yes. To say yes to Your call. To not look back. For whatever has set us back, You promise that our comeback is stronger than our setback. Help us to remember that today, O God, that no valley is too dark or deep that Your light won't reach. We need to remember that individually, but we also need to remember that as a nation, we have forgotten Your name. In so many ways, we hurl hate at each other. We defy Your ordinances. But You will not let this go on forever. Help us to turn from the ways that do not honor You and set our feet back on the path of following You once again. Help us, O God, and help us to hear Your word today. In Your name we pray, in the name of Your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, we lift this petition to You. Amen. So in 2 Kings, we find ourselves listening or watching as bystanders the struggle that Elisha has and the journey that Elijah is on, that they are on together. Hear the word of God. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel, and the company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elijah and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master from you?" To which Elisha said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." And Elijah turned to Elisha and said, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But Elisha responded, saying, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on, and 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them. And as they both were standing by the Jordan, then Elisha took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." To which Elisha said, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I'm being taken from you, it would be granted you. If not, it will not." So as they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elijah kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his clothes and tore them into two pieces. He picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" When struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other. And Elisha went over. Our second word today comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 51 through 62. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him because his face was set towards Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" And Jesus turned and he rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And to another, he said, "Follow me." But the man said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury the dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Holy God, help us to hear your word in a whole new way today, so that it might shape us and mold us into the disciples that you have called us to be. You are still calling us over the centuries, over the years. You are still calling us, saying, "Follow me." So help us on that task. Help us, O God. Help us, we pray. In the name of our Savior and your Son, O God, we lift this to you. Amen. Now, I have to be honest. I'm the queen of pushing a deadline. 16 years in journalism, you'd think that I wouldn't do that no more. But I do. You know, when a professor in college would say, there ain't no way you're going to write this paper the night before and get anything above a passing grade. And I didn't see that as an admonition. I saw it as a challenge. Watch me, professor. Watch me. I'm going to write it the night before and I'll get a B+ on it. And I'll be happy for it. I did that more than once, I hate to admit. I'm the queen of pushing a deadline, and I'm the queen of saying maybe or in a minute. Don't ask me where you want to go for dinner or lunch, because I'm going to say, I don't know. Where do you want to go? I'm grateful for the Presbyterian policy that pastors are not to vote in session meetings, because it kind of lets me off the hook. I'm just being honest. I don't want to commit sometimes. I want to weigh my options. I want to know more information or to see kind of where the general consensus lies in the group. Sometimes I'm pushing deadlines because I'm trying to fit one more thing in or maybe tweak this word or that, or maybe I'm pushing a deadline because I'm still at someone's house listening to one more story. I love listening to stories, but and this is fine now with the work that I do. But when I was a newspaper journalist, I drove my editors crazy. Just ask them, they'll tell you. That Charmaine, she's always pushing the clock. One more minute, editor, I'm almost done. One more minute. 5 more minutes would turn into 30. Do you do this? Maybe I'm the only one, maybe I'm the weirdo here. And if that's the case, that's fine. I'm used to it. But I think about this and the fact that I'm hard to commit to something because that's what our stories are about today. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, we hear stories that are about commitment or lack thereof. In our first story, Elijah, who I want you to understand is not somebody famous. He doesn't have riches. He doesn't have a big house at his disposal. He's a farmer, an ordinary farmer. Always considered in those times to be the least educated among us, the least powerful, but he's a prophet. He's following Elijah, learning from Elijah. And he knows that his teacher is about to be raised to heaven. He's not wearing rose-colored glasses. He knows the truth of what's about to come. Maybe not in all the details, but he knows that he's about to lose his teacher. And 3 times, Elijah tells him to stay behind, that he's been called just a little bit further. But he refuses to stay put. Each time he says to Elijah these words, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. Sounds a lot like the story of Ruth, not leaving Naomi's side. Commitment. Elisha says yes, which is a no to the request to stay behind, a solid yes to standing by his teacher and being of faithful service to God. There's no, yes, Elisha, but I'll be there in a minute, completely different from our story in the New Testament. Here we find Jesus with his face set towards Jerusalem. That's our cue in the story to know that he's headed to the cross. The author is saying, you know why he's going to Jerusalem. He's not going to pick up his get out of jail free card. He's not going to Jerusalem to cash in on some treasure or some reward. He's going to the cross. And he runs into people. Both, he runs into this village of Samaritans who don't want to accept him. And then he runs into others. And when he says, "Follow me," he hears a, "Yes, but wait, Lord." The first one says, "Lord, let me first go bury my father." Then another man says, "Let me go say farewell to those at home." Now, those seem like reasonable requests, right? I mean, they're not asking to, you know, grab another sandwich before they hit the road. They're wanting to bury their dead and to say goodbye to their family. So there's a little part of me, the human in me, that reads this story and I think, come on, Jesus. I mean, you know, you can't wait a minute. It sounds a little bit harsh. Because they seem like reasonable requests. They really do. How do we do this? Do we do this by saying, "Wait, Lord, I'll follow you when it's right on my schedule, when I'm not quite so busy or the season is right, when it's comfortable, when it feels safe, when you think you know the outcome?" I mean, I'm going to be honest. That's how I am sometimes. I want to know the details. I want to be in control of the outcome. I want to weigh my options. What do I have left on my to-do list before I go? The truth is, I want to plan my decisions carefully to measure the cost or the potential sacrifice. Plenty of times I said, "But Jesus, do I really have to? Really?" And here's why Jesus says what he does. He wants to make it clear that there's no wiggle room. Does that mean there's no grace? Yes, there's grace. Of course there's grace. But what he means is, if you're going to be committed, be all in. Don't think you're going to root for his team and then suddenly decide to go to the other side of the stadium. If you're going to be committed to Jesus, be committed to Jesus. When he calls you and says, "Follow me," you say, "Yes, Lord, I'm coming. I'm right here. Where do you want me to go?" That's what he wants from us. He doesn't want lukewarm Christians. And all too often, we like to say, "Hey, I'm a Christian." But when we get out there in the world Monday through Saturday, we think we can do whatever the heck we want to do. We can treat people the way we want to. We can scream at them. We can call them names if we're hiding behind a keyboard, not putting our name to it. We think we can do whatever we want to. We can bully who we want. We can be nasty to who we want. We can shun somebody at the lunch table or maybe somebody at the grocery store. But the way of Jesus says, "No, that is not what I ask of you." The way of Jesus is one of sacrifice. Sometimes when you look at somebody and your first thought is, "I don't know about this person," Jesus says, "Remember. Remember that I'm standing right behind that person you want to make fun of. I'm standing right behind that person you want to judge. I'm standing right behind that person that you think is not as good as you. I'm standing right behind that Democrat or that Republican that you want to shun and put off to the side because they don't think like you or vote like you. I'm right behind all of my children, and I'm watching what you're doing. I'm right behind." You see, the way of Jesus, brothers and sisters, it's not easy. That's why when Elisha says he wants a double portion of the Spirit, Elijah says, you've asked for a hard thing. Because sometimes it's hard to do the right thing. It's hard to make the sacrifices that need to be made to follow Jesus. You think climbing on that cross was easy? Just because he was Jesus doesn't mean it was easy. But he did it. He did it so that we would know that whatever sacrifice is asked of us, we can do it too. Not because we're powerful. Not because somehow we've got our life together. Not because somehow we're perfect. But because he says he won't leave us alone on the path. Hear those words, follow me. What that means is, he's right there in front of us. He's clearing the way so that we can see how to walk in the water. He's clearing the path so that we know where to place our feet. We don't always know where we're headed. And sometimes we want to get there faster than God does, wants us to get there. But we got to remember it's on his time and his way, because he knows what's best for us. He knows what's best for us. Here's what Jill Duffield says. She's another Presbyterian pastor, and she says this about these stories. She says, we're in a time in history when the time is now for Christians to face forward and to follow Jesus to Jerusalem with no stops or U-turns. There's an urgency of decision and action in this season when the world churns with evil and hateful acts. False teachers abound and excuses not to follow the one who died on the cross are many. We have a long list of but wait. When Jesus' command for us is to act now. Are you in or are you out is what he's asking. Are you committed to the way of Christ? Are you lukewarm? He's asking you to make a decision. All of us. Every day. Don't think you make a decision today and that tomorrow's going to be peachy keen, because that's not how this works. Every day when you get those feet on the ground, you've got to pray to God that he helps you in that day. And then, trust me on this, you've got to keep on praying through the day. You don't just need Jesus to get into heaven. You need him to go to Walmart and the grocery store, to get up out of bed in the morning. There are some people for whom getting up out of bed is a task that they can't walk without Jesus. And even with Jesus, sometimes they can't get out of bed. They want to be here with us and they can't do it. Their body is failing them. We all need Jesus every single day, every single hour. We need his strength. We need his spirit to follow the way. And the problem is that we have forgotten who Jesus is. So many of us have forgotten who Jesus is. We think that we can do it all on our own, that we call the shots. We've forgotten who our Creator is, that we didn't make these trees. Yeah, somebody planted them, but who grew them? God did. Who placed them here to begin with? God did. From whom do we gather our power and our strength when times are hard, when our family members have been gunned down in senseless violence, when we're dealing with addiction you don't believe me, you talk to somebody who's fought the demon of addiction and has broke free. Trust me on this. Anybody that is being honest with you about breaking free of that demon, Jesus is going to be the name on their lips. They can't do it any other way. No other way but Jesus. No other way. We are the only way where we know our Savior is right there on the path with us. There's no other God but our God. No other way but Jesus. Now, some places might not say that firm, but I'm going to say that because that's what this book says. That don't mean I don't love my brothers and sisters that feel differently or practice differently, but it also means that I'm going to bring my Jesus into every room I walk into. I'm going to bring my Jesus with me because he's there in front of me before I walk in. Not because I'm perfect. Not because any of us are perfect. If you're waiting on that, you're going to be waiting a long time. But because you know that you need Jesus to walk the way. You know that you need him in the morning, and you need him when you lay down at night. And you need him in between. And that's what he's asking. Are you going to be like Elisha? Are we going to be like Elisha and say, yes, Lord? Or are we going to say, wait a minute, hold on, let me go do this other thing? No. It's not what Jesus is looking for, y'all. Are you all in? Because that's what he wants. He wants your heart and nothing less. All of it. Not a little sliver. So that's not what he gave. He didn't just put one foot up on that cross and one arm. He got up there with his whole self. Everything he had, he gave for us. So what are we going to give him in return? Are we going to give him a solid yes? Or a half answer? Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Holy God, you are here in this place and we are grateful. Oh, are we grateful? Your way is tough indeed, but the other way is so much worse. We pray for the power of your Spirit today, Lord God, that we resist the temptation to follow in the other way, that we resist the ways of the world and turn to you, that we resist the way of death and instead turn to your way of life. For even though the way is hard, it is a way of freedom. It's the way of love and mercy. It's the way of grace and forgiveness. It's the way that is filled with all your good gifts, waiting there for us. All we need to do is to say yes with our whole hearts to you. Help us do that today and tomorrow and every day. In your name we pray.